Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have more madness and mayhem for Halloween, and you provide the special effects with your imagination. First, we have a high-quality show that is a real Victorian ghost story, updated for the 1940s. The adaptation is by Lucille Fletcher, famous for The Hitchhiker and Sorry, Wrong Number. This was part of the Columbia Workshop, a critically acclaimed prestige offering from CBS. Enjoy the thrills and chills of the Columbia Workshop, Carmilla, first broadcast July 28, 1940 on CBS.
The Columbia Workshop presents Carmilla from a story by Sheridan Lafanu, adapted by Lucille Fletcher. Workshop audiences will recall Miss Fletcher as the author of the workshop's recent comedy success, My Client Curly. In her adaptation tonight, she works in a new vein. Lafanu's Carmilla was a favorite horror story of mid-19th century England. Miss Fletcher's adaptation brings her story up to date with a modern setting. And here is Sheridan Lafanu's Carmilla.
Dr. Witherspoon speaking.
Is this the Reverend Witherspoon?
Yes.
This is J.S. Dodge. Do you remember me, Dr. Witherspoon? I have the big place on Maple Hill.
Oh, yes, Mr. Dodge. I remember you.
I'm in trouble, Dr. Witherspoon. Can you come over to my house at once?
Why, of course.
Thank you. It's a matter of life and death.
Dr. Witherspoon. My daughter Helen has died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You must help me save her life.
Only God can do that, Mr. Dodge.
Yes, we'll talk about that later. Come, she's in her bedroom here.
Who's there?
It's I, Mrs. Rodd. The Dr. Witherspoon.
Yes, sir.
Helen. Helen, it's Papa.
Is Carmilla with you?
Here's the minister, Helen. You remember Dr.
I
Witherspoon.
I want Carmilla. Why don't they send Camilla to me? What have you done to her, please?
There, dear, lie down.
Bring her back.
Please.
Go find Camilla. Find her. Bring her back.
She's been like that for hours, Dr. Witherspoon.
Can't the doctors do anything?
Oh, the doctors are fools.
Mr. Dodge. Who is this person your daughter keeps calling for, this Carmilla?
I'll tell you everything in a moment, but first, Dr. Witherspoon, there's something I must check. You are an antiquarian, aren't you?
Yes, in a small way. I've written some pamphlets for the New England Historical Society on old...
That's all I wanted to know. Sit down, please. Before I tell you my story, I want you to look at me. Do I seem normal to you, or insane?
Why, you seem rather overwrought, sir. But I would say, quite sane.
Then perhaps you will believe me. My story, I think, begins 2 months ago, on a warm night in June, when I heard a car skid followed by a terrific crash. I called Tony, our gardener. We ran down the drive to the state highway. A black limousine of some fancy foreign make had taken the curve too fast, sideswiped a tree, and landed half in the ditch. Glass was lying all over the road. A tall woman, dressed in black, was standing nearby and crying her eyes out.
Poor little Camilla. For heaven's sake, get her out. She's dead.
What's the matter, madam? Anything we can do?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. She's in there.
Who's in there?
My daughter, Carmilla. Oh, we hit something. I can't get the back door open.
Well, maybe we can open it. Here, Tony, give a hand.
Yes, Miss Carmilla.
Okay, now, Paul. Why, it opens quite easily.
Oh, does it? Oh, get her out quickly, please.
Yeah, here she is on the floor. Okay, Tony. Now, take it easy. All right, there. Give me that other order blanket there. We'll lay it on the grass over here.
Is she dead?
Yeah, it just seems to have fainted. She'll be all right. Run up to the house, Tony, and get some water.
Yes, Miss.
Oh, I was in such a hurry. I have to get to Canada by tomorrow morning.
Canada? Well, that's a good 700 miles.
I know, but I've got to be there.
Oh.
She's opening her eyes. Carmilla, speak to Mama. Are you all right?
Mama, where am I?
Tony came back with the water and Helen. She's always been a great one to help people and... Well, she fussed over the girl, gave her water, spoke nicely to her, and it wasn't any time at all before the kid was up and on her feet again. When what does the mother do but ask me a funny question?
You wouldn't happen to know the good hotel anywhere around this neighborhood, would you?
Hotel?
I don't want it for myself. I want it for Carmilla.
You mean you're not taking her with you to Canada?
Oh, I don't see how I can. I've got to get there by tomorrow morning at the very latest. And she's certainly in no condition to travel.
Papa, why can't she stay with us?
With us?
Well, yes, Papa, we've got loads of room. Oh, please, Papa, please say yes. Please do.
It was an awkward moment. Ordinarily, I don't take the strangers, but these people were well-bred, rich, and, well, Helen just begged me. Ever since her mother died, I've never been able to resist anything she ever wanted. I knew she'd been lonely out here in the country, so far from her friends, so I said yes.
Goodbye, Mr. Dodge. I don't know how I shall ever thank you enough.
That's all right. We'll look after her. And you think you'll be back in 3 weeks?
Oh, at the very latest. It is so kind of you.
And in case you don't come back by then, is there any way I can get in touch with you?
Oh, of course. You can reach me in Canada. Just a moment, I'll give you my card. Here it is. Mrs. C. Wood, 1211, Rue d'Ange, Quebec, Canada. I haven't got the telephone number with me, but the long-distance operator will give it to you.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. Well, goodbye and lots of luck.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Carmilla, darling.
Goodbye, Mama.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. The car drove off like a house afire. It seemed to scare even the dogs. We heard one howling far down the road long after it went by. I don't know why, but I felt depressed. But Helen was as happy as a lark about the whole thing. I'd never realized before how lonely she must have been all by herself until I saw how she acted with Carmilla.
Carmilla, are you up yet?
Come in.
Good morning. Well, maybe I should say good afternoon. Do you know it's almost 2 o'clock?
But I still feel tired. You know what time Mama and I always get up at home?
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, Carmilla,
that's a real time to get up. When the light is all soft and golden. And the sky is pale blue. Like a painting behind you. And the birds are going to sing.
Oh, but you miss everything if you get up that late.
Oh, no, you don't.
Well, come on now. I've got a million things to show you. The house and the pool and the garden.
Look, Carmilla.
Isn't this an adorable summer house?
My mother used to like to sit here, too. Just before she died.
Yes.
Oh, let's not talk about it. What a beautiful passion flower vine.
That's Tony's doing. He raises them. They're supposed to be very rare.
Look at this flower. It's like an exquisite insect. Look at these circles of lavender. These hungry green stamens curving upward. Like claws.
Tony told me that the reason they're called passion flowers is because they're a symbol of the passion of our Lord.
Silly superstition. They're really a symbol of human passion. Everything about them is wild and hungry. You know what my favorite flower is?
What?
The night blooming scene. I've never seen it.
I have.
Many times. It blooms in secret, you know. Only at night. And in utter dark. The flowers open like moons.
Oh, how beautiful. I wish I could see one someday.
You will. We'll go hunting for them some night together. Soon.
Carmilla? Oh, it's you.
Yes.
You didn't tell me you played. What a strange piece that is. What's it called?
Longueur.
Longueur. What an odd name. Yet it's somehow appropriate.
It's my favorite piece. What does it remind you of?
I don't know.
It reminds me of moonlight. The very old stone fountain. It's cool there. It's silvery. It's like the moonlight. Turned into silver water. I can feel it. All over my body. Does the music make you feel that way too?
Hmm. A little. Yes, I can almost see it. The fountain and the moonlight. Can you describe it?
She's a funny sort of girl, Miss Carmilla. Romantic, temperamental, full of crazy notions. But after you were with her for a while, you couldn't help liking her. As the days went by, Carmilla became like a regular member of our little family. And then...
Well, girls, looks like you'll have to give up some of your gallivanting for a while.
Oh, Papa, why?
There seems to be some kind of an epidemic going around. Just been reading about it in the newspaper.
What kind of epidemic?
Nobody seems to know. 12 people have died in the next county.
Goodness. Did you hear that, Camilla?
What is it, darling?
12 people in the next county have just died of an epidemic.
Really?
Yes. Papa wants us to stay home from now on.
Oh, dear. That would spoil our picnic tomorrow.
You're planning to go on a picnic tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that wouldn't do any harm.
No, but this is a picnic in the church. Yes. Camilla was going to show me the funny old tombstone. We're going to go exploring, too. Camilla says there are a whole lot of the Wood family buried in the churchyard. She wanted to check up to see if any of them were related to us.
I kept a sharp eye on them from that night on. After all, Dr. Witherspoon, Helen is all I have in the world. As for Camilla, well, I didn't want to answer for anything to that mother of hers. One night at supper, I noticed that Helen was unusually pale.
Helen, what's the matter? Aren't you feeling well? You look pale.
Maybe I'm just tired. I haven't been getting very much sleep lately. Bad dreams, I guess.
I've been having bad dreams, too. I haven't slept a wink for the last 3 nights. Have you, Carmilla? You never told me. I didn't want to depress you. But every night, I dream that I'm awake. And suddenly a great black cat jumps over the sill into my room.
Goodness.
Well, that doesn't sound like much to me.
Wait a minute. The cat begins to pace. Slowly, up and down the room. Up and down. And as it paces, it grows larger and larger until it's as big as a tiger. Suddenly it jumps up on my bed.
Helen, what's the matter?
Nothing. I've been dreaming the very same thing myself. Except that the black cat seems to turn into a wolf. A horrible, mangy wolf with long, black, pointed fangs.
Mr. Dodge, did you ever hear of such a thing?
No, it's mighty funny. I don't like the looks of it at all. Not at all.
And then, Dr. Witherspoon, I consulted a physician about my daughter's health. He said she was only a little anemic. At first, I believed it. But, Dr. Witherspoon, there are things in this world about which the medical profession knows nothing. That night, after everybody had gone to bed, I was awakened by a terrible scream. It seemed to come from Helen's room. I jumped out of bed and ran down the hall. Mrs. Rodd met me at the stairs.
Oh, excuse my appearance, Mr. Dodge, but did you hear that scream?
Yes, from Miss Helen's room. Why, the door's locked.
Oh, yes, sir. Miss Helen always locks her doors at night now.
Good heavens. Helen! Helen, are you all right? Speak to me. She doesn't answer. Knock on Miss Carmilla's door. We can get in that way.
Miss Carmilla locked her door, too, sir.
What?
The two girls are always thinking they'll be murdered, sir.
Good heavens! Helen! Wait a minute. I think I hear somebody in there. Something moving. Helen, open the door quickly, dear. Helen! What are you doing on the floor? Good heavens, there's blood over everything.
Carmilla.
What happened to you, Helen? Why did you scream like that?
I screamed because I saw Carmilla covered with blood.
Where?
At the foot of my bed. I was having a dream about the cat again. I woke up and there she was standing at the foot of my bed all covered with blood. Didn't you see her run out of the room?
No, dear, no. You must have dreamed that too. Mrs. Rodd, knock on Miss Carmilla's door, will you? See if she's all right.
Carmilla.
No, it's all right.
Carmilla.
It's all right.
Carmilla, are you all right?
Please,
Camilla! Oh, sir, she doesn't answer. Shall I run downstairs and get my passage?
All right, Mrs. Rodden, hurry.
Nothing's happened to Camilla.
No. Take it easy, dear. We'll see about Camilla in a minute. Now, tell me, Helen. Where did all this blood come from?
I don't know. Perhaps from Camilla. Her housecoat was soaked with it. Oh, I know it. She's been murdered.
Please, Helen, now get hold of yourself, my dear. Stop crying now. You say Camilla was covered with blood?
Yes.
Oh, but look, dear. You must have been dreaming. There's no blood on the floor at all.
I tell
tell you, I saw her, Papa.
The only blood in this room is on your pillow and your nightdress.
I've got the key, sir. But first, Tony wants to speak to you.
Tony?
Yes, sir. He says he's just seen Miss Carmilla.
Good heavens.
Please, Miss Dodge. I just seen Miss Carmilla 5-10 minutes ago walking in the garden.
In the garden?
It's true, Miss Dodge. I swear it. Miss Carmilla, she walked like that in the garden many times. Late at night.
We searched for Carmilla all night long. There was no trace of her. Her bed had not been slept in. All the doors leading into her room were locked. The one window looking out over the garden was open, but the drop to the ground below was a good 60 feet. Helen was hysterical, and of course I was just about beside myself, thinking how all this was going to sound to her mother, when suddenly, next day, just as I was calling up the local sheriff, I heard Helen's voice calling me from upstairs. I ran up, and sure enough, there was Camilla, as fresh as a daisy, sitting on the edge of Helen's bed.
Oh, Mr. Dodge, what on earth is all this fuss about?
Camilla, where have you been?
What is this? I've been in bed.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Well, then, something's wrong. As far as I know, I've been sound asleep in there all night long. I just woke up half an hour ago, got up, took a shower, got dressed. Came in here to say good morning to Helen.
If you think you're being funny, I may as well tell you we're in no mood for kidding. Helen has been hysterical all night. Maybe you've got a boyfriend or someone you go down to meet in the village.
A boyfriend? What an idea.
Well, why not? For what other reason would you sneak out every night?
Every night? Who says I sneak out every night?
Tony the gardener. He says he's seen you plenty of times in the garden or walking down the drive. And not only that, he told me another thing. He's seen you sneaking back into the house in the morning, too.
It's a lie.
Papa!
I don't want to hurt you, Camilla. But be frank with me. Otherwise, I'll have to take some kind of action.
Papa, please.
I can't have any guest of mine sneaking and prowling around the house at all hours of the night, Helen. Where did that blood on your dress come from last night? How did Camilla get out of her room? She hasn't explained one word of this to us. If she won't, well, there's nothing more to do but wire her mother.
Oh, no. I swear to you, Mr. Dodge, I have nothing to tell. Perhaps you were dreaming. Perhaps we were all dreaming, even Tony. I have it. I have the solution.
What is it?
I'll bet... I've been walking in my sleep.
Well, all things, why didn't we think of that?
I haven't done it since I was a child. But it used to be a great habit with me. They used to say I had an uncanny sense of places. I could find my way through locked doors.
Of course. See, Papa, how simple.
I wasn't satisfied with the whole business. Too many things just didn't seem to click. The blood on Helen's pillow, the locked doors, the 60-foot jump. I still thought Carmilla was holding out on me. There seemed only one thing to do. Hello, long distance. Will you connect me with Quebec, please? Quebec, Canada. I'd like to speak to Mrs. C. Wood, 1211 Rue des Anges, Quebec, Canada. I don't know the number.
You are calling C. Wood, 1211 Rue des Anges, Quebec, Canada.
Yes, that's right.
Quebec, Canada. This is Quebec. Will you connect me with a Mrs. D. Wood, 1211 Rue des Anges, Quebec, Canada?
Just one moment, please. I beg your pardon, but there is no C. Wood missing at 1211 Rue des Anges.
Thank you.
1211 Rue des Anges is a cemetery.
When I hung up that receiver, my knees were trembling. I didn't know what to think. But I had my suspicions, plenty of them. I walked into the living room. It was late afternoon. Carmilla was playing the piano. Carmilla?
Oh.
Carmilla, when did you last hear from your mother?
Mama? Let's see. Day of Friday. Wednesday.
Tell me the truth. You haven't heard from her at all.
I guess not.
Isn't that rather strange?
Not particularly. Mama's always been lazy about writing. She's like me.
But you were ill when she left. Wouldn't she want to know whether you had recovered?
Oh, she knows I'm all right. Helen and I sent her a telegram.
To what address?
1211 Rue des Anges, Quebec, Canada.
It hasn't been returned?
Of course not. That's Mama's permanent address.
Camilla, you're lying to me. 1211 Rue des Anges is a cemetery.
Cemetery?
Yes. Don't pretend you know nothing about it because you do. You and your mother are a fine team, all right. A fine team.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thought you could fool me with a phony accident, didn't you? Thought you could worm my business secrets out of me by striking up a friendship with Helen. Well, it was a smart idea, but it didn't work out, see?
I've never heard of anything like this in my life.
Oh, you haven't, eh?
Mr. Dodge, if you think I came here after your money,
You're vastly mistaken.
Then explain what you were doing prowling around the house last night.
I've already told you. I was walking in my sleep.
What were you doing in my daughter's room?
I wasn't in her room. She was dreaming.
What were those bloodstains on her dress?
I know nothing of bloodstains. I tell you, I haven't the faintest idea.
I have a good mind to turn you over to the police, young lady, but I won't, for Helen's sake, provided you leave this house at once. Mrs. Rudd.
But where shall I go? I know no one. I haven't any money.
Yes, sir.
Start packing Miss Camilla's things at once.
Yes, sir. Oh, be careful. She's got the letter open in her hand.
You little fool. Queered yourself that time.
What has happened? Who screamed like that?
Oh, Helen. Helen, darling. Your papa's going to send me away.
Papa, what for?
I...
Oh, Papa, how could you be so unkind? Well, Camilla's my dearest friend.
He says I'm lying to both of you. But I came here to spy on you and rob you.
Papa, how could you ever think of such a thing?
I'm sorry, Helen, but this is my affair. And I have every good reason to think that Camilla is not a real friend.
But she's done nothing. I feel so weak.
Helen. Helen.
She's fainted.
Carried Helen upstairs and called Dr. Bradley. He worked over her for 2 hours, but he couldn't even bring her back to her senses. She lay all that afternoon and evening in a deep coma. She didn't move, scarcely seemed to breathe. Downstairs in the living room, Camilla was playing her everlasting tune. It seemed to mock her. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. I stood up to call Mrs. Rodwin. Suddenly, I saw the door to Camilla's room open very slowly. She came into Helen's room. She didn't speak to me. I heard her laugh. Camilla.
Oh. Good evening, Mr. Dodge. Surprised to see you.
I thought you were playing the piano.
I am. You thought you could keep me out of here, didn't you? You thought Helen would let me be sent away. Do you think walls or doors or locks would keep me away from Helen? No, Mr. Dodge. She's mine. Did you hear that? Mine.
Oh, how beautifully she sleeps.
She's happy now. You know what she's dreaming of, Mr. Dodd? She's dreaming about a fountain. An old stone fountain. In the moonlight.
Get out of here!
But soon she'll dream of a cat. A great black cat. Who jumps over her windowsill.
Keep away from that bed! With one leap, she jumped on Helen's bed. I saw her teeth bared like fangs, like the pointed fangs of a wolf. And then suddenly the room went dark. I could hear Helen struggling on the bed, and then one agonizing scream. I groped my way toward the bed. I could see nothing of it but a great black mass that swelled and swelled until it covered the bed like a cloud. I struck at it with my fist, but I could only hear Camilla laughing at me. This happened last night, Dr. Witherspoon. Since then, I've been almost crazy. I know everything now. I know that my daughter has only one chance to live.
And that is?
That is if we destroy this monster who is draining her strength. This incubus, this vampire.
Vampire? Oh, vampires are mythical. They're like witches or ghosts. Mr. Dark, you're sure that all this hasn't been brought on somewhat by your own state of mind?
My own state of mind? Good heavens, what are you insinuating, Dr. Witherspoon?
Your daughter's dreadful illness. The shock, perhaps.
Dr. Witherspoon, I have called you in to help me. I have given you all the evidence. There is no time to waste. Now tell me, from your antiquarian studies of the old Puritan families, what do you know about a family named Wood?
Wood?
I have an old portrait here my daughter picked up at a village auction just before the epidemic. It's supposed to be a picture of one of the Wood family, a mere Kala Wood. Helen bought it because she thought it was the image of Camilla. Here it is.
Oh, yes. 17th century. Most attractive.
Who is this McCullough Wood? Do you know anything about her?
Nothing very important.
What is it?
She was hanged on the village gallows as a witch.
A witch? Dr. Witherspoon, take me to her grave.
old woodblock. It hasn't been used for more than a century. Oh, dear me, the grass is so very wet. Let me see. Josiah Wood, Ephraim Wood, Sarah Wood, Rachel Wood, beloved wife of... Oh, here it is. Mercalla Wood, born 1619, died 1638. There's an epitaph here, too, but I can't read it.
It's Carmilla.
Carmilla? My dear sir, this poor creature has been dead for over 300 years.
You heard me. Didn't the book say that they can live forever as long as they have the blood of living things? Carmilla, Mercalla, Carmilla. The same letters. It's the same name twisted around.
My dear Mr. Dodge, calm yourself. Here, come back into the car.
No, no. Tony, hand me that shovel.
Mr. Dodge, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take her out of here. I'm going to destroy her once and for all.
You have no proof that the body of this poor witch is the same as this Carmilla. You have no proof that this friend of your daughter's even is a vampire.
Don't stop, Tony. Keep on digging.
Are you mad, sir? Vampires don't exist. They're creatures of the imagination. This is sacrilege, Mr. Dodge. I shall have to report you to the police.
I struck a coffin, Miss Dodge.
Thank heaven. It's getting dark. It'll be night in a few minutes. Here, give me that rope.
Where are you going, Miss Dodge?
Into the grave. I'll have to haul it up out of the hole.
That rope's not strong enough, Miss Dodge. I'm afraid that she'd break.
Then I'll smash in the lid down there. Hand me the hammer and the stick.
All right, sir.
What's that?
Huh?
Quick, the hammer.
Yes, sir.
Oh, the witch is coming in my court. Here, come down here.
All right, Mr.
Take
Dodge.
A shovel and beat in that end while I smash open this one.
All right.
Stop that. The name of the law. What do you two fellas think you're doing there?
Please, Sheriff, I can explain everything. Just give me 1 minute more.
Get down there, men. Take that hammer and shovel away from them.
No, you... Oh, my arm.
Grave robbing, eh?
You don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing. Anyway, that's what Dr. Witherspoon says. Okay, boys. Take him back to courthouse.
This is a matter of life or death, I warn you. There's a vampire lying in that coffin. A vampire.
Listen to him, boys.
Do you want to know who's been causing all those deaths in the village? That body lying there. It's been killing all your people one by one, living on their blood.
Ah, he's cracked.
Let me open the lid. I'll prove it to you. You see that tombstone? It says Mercalla Wood died 1638. Died 1638, 300 years ago. That coffin should contain a handful of dust. I'll show you that it contains a body as fresh as any of us. A young girl with red hair.
Take him to the courthouse, boys. We ain't got no more time to waste.
For the last time, Sheriff, before it's too late. Listen. Do you hear it? That's it. She's coming to herself. Out of the coffin there. Stop her. Stop her before it's too late. Give me the stake. The stake.
I don't hear nothing. Come on.
Mr. Dodge, sir, I thought you'd never come back.
How's Helen?
You must be brave, sir. She's gone. She passed away just about a half hour ago while Miss Carmilla was playing the piano downstairs.
Miss Carmilla?
Yes, sir. She came in about an hour ago and began to play. Miss Helen heard her from her room. It seemed to soothe her, and she smiled at me. Carmilla's come back. She forgives me. Tell her to come upstairs. But before I could go downstairs to get Miss Carmilla, she passed away.
Oh, God! Oh, my God!
And now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I'll just go in and tell Miss Carmilla now.
Oh.
Someone ought to tell her before very long. She loves Miss Helen so.
You have heard the Columbia Workshop presentation of Carmilla, a story by Sheridan Lefanu, adapted for radio by Lucille Fletcher. The entire production was under the direction of Earl McGill. The part of Mr. Dodge was played by Bill Johnstone, Carmilla by Jeanette Nolan, Helen by Joan Tetzel. Other members of the cast were Effie Palmer, Maurice Franklin, Peter Capel, Gladys Thornton, Tom Tully, Gene Colbert, and Neil O'Malley. Next week, the workshop presents a radio production of two poems of America Today, the work of two of our best-known contemporary poets looking at our country at this moment in our history. The poems are a verse sequence by E.B. White and Nightmare at Noon by Stephen Vincent Benet. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we'll give your imagination a workout straying into a haunted forest. This is great radio with lots of strange happenings. It is written by Scott Bishop, also known for his work on The Mysterious Traveler. Dark Fantasy was a short-lived series of 31 episodes, broadcast on NBC and originating from WKY in Oklahoma City. This is Dark Fantasy, The Demon Tree, first broadcast December 5th, 1941 on NBC.
£3 on the Jack of Diamonds.
You should tear your money up, Humphreys. It would last you longer.
Perhaps you're right, Crane. But this way I get a sense of honest toil. I say, isn't anyone else betting?
Oh, let's quit. I'm tired of losing.
Oh, look here, old girl. Could I loan you a few pounds?
No, thank you, Crane. I have enough to get me back to London. If we ever do get back.
Now, why do you say that, Clara? It's only a matter of a stage getting through here to the resort and taking us out of this beastly place.
Beastly place is right. Why people come here for a rest is more than I can determine. Honestly, I've never spent such an uncomfortable week in all my life.
Well, think of me. I've been here 3. So have you, Humphreys.
Mm. Oh, look here, you two. It's 3 o'clock. Well, they're expecting the stage around 8 tonight. What do you say the 3 of us go for a bit of a walk through the forest?
I say, why not? Oh, here comes Danvers. Perhaps he'll join us.
Anything to get away from this place. Good afternoon, Danvers.
Greetings, good people. I take it you're no happier than when I left you a while ago.
Well, the place is as gloomy as a morgue. We've just agreed to take a walk in the forest back of the inn. You're invited to come along if you like.
Sounds like a good enough way to pass the time.
Oh, good. And we all go together. Besides, I'm quite interested in that forest out there. You remember, of course, the story the night clerk told us last evening.
Yes, I don't like him. He talks through his nose. People should talk through their mouths.
No. I mean, what he told us about the forest.
What about the forest? I didn't hear it, Humphreys.
Well, the clerk said it was a gorgeous place. Lots of beautiful foliage, vivid colors, clear water lakes.
But nobody goes there. So beautiful.
That's just it, Clara. You see, people have gone there and never come back.
What? Rubbish. A lot of nonsense. Why, the clerk is just superstitious, that's all.
I am inclined to agree with you, Danvers. Why, he even told us an absurd story about a tree out there in that forest that's supposed to strangle people.
Strangle them? How?
Oh, I don't know. With its branches, I suppose. Just some absurd legend that people around here like to believe.
I believe it's more than just a legend, Crane.
Eh?
And what makes you say that, old man?
Here. I talked to the clerk again later last night. He dug out this old newspaper clipping for me. Read it, Danvers, aloud.
Hmm. Old is right. Almost illegible.
Well, read it.
It says, London, England, April 21st, 1857. It is reported that Sir Horace Wakefield, Earl of Dorsha, was found strangled last night in Barlow Forest. His body was discovered entangled in the branches of a huge oak tree.
Oh.
Go on, read the rest of it.
Earl's death recalls to mind the weird tale of the Witch of Barlow Forest. who is said to have lived in the 16th century. An evil old hag who, upon having a falling out with Sir Thomas Holly Wakefield, cursed him and warned him that any of his descendants who entered Barlow Forest would surely perish.
Charming old girl, wasn't she?
No. Don't scoff until you've heard the rest of it.
Go on, Danvers.
She also added that any person or persons with the Wakefield descendant would also die. She is said to have planted an acorn smeared with her own blood. The acorn is supposed to have grown into a towering oak capable of moving about from place to place in Barlow Forest. Sir Horace is the sixth of the Wakefield line to have perished by strangulation in the forest.
Thomas Hurley Wakefield. I wonder.
Hmm? You wonder what, Craig?
My mother's name was Wakefield. I was just wondering if she was related to Sir Thomas.
Oh, of course not, Crane. It's just a story.
But an extraordinary story, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Wouldn't do very well as a bedtime story, would it?
A demon tree. I wonder if we could find it.
Well, let's have a try, shall we?
I'm game.
Don't let anybody say I'm not.
Then let's go. So Humphrey's going along. I say, Humphreys, are you daydreaming?
No, I was just thinking. Wouldn't it be odd if the whole thing were true? If we all went in there and didn't come back.
Do you gentlemen see any way we can get into that forest?
It's as dense as Father Time's beard. Doesn't seem to be an opening anywhere.
I think we can get in over here.
Oh, all right. Coming, Danvers.
There seems to be a footpath over here. Only one along this line of the forest. There, see?
Oh, yes, you're right. Come on, I'll lead. We'd better remember the way back. It'd be hard to get out of here if we didn't know where this opening is.
Don't worry, I'll remember it. I'm good at landmarks.
Go ahead, Clara. I'm right behind you.
I say, do any of you feel that?
Feel what, Danvers?
A chill. I feel like it's 20 degrees colder in this place.
I feel that way, too.
So do I.
It's naturally cooler in the woods where the sun doesn't shine.
But not this much cooler.
I don't like this place. I'm for going back to the inn.
Oh, let's get on ahead a little ways. I say, it is pretty in here.
Pretty or not, it gives me the creep.
It isn't the kind of cold caused by climatic changes.
What was that, Danvers?
I said, it's a different kind of cold. It's the kind that creeps up your spine when some evil comes over you.
Oh, now, Danvers, you're just letting that newspaper story play on your mind.
Wait a minute, eh? Look! That tree there in front of us. It looks like a human giant.
Jove! You're right, Danvers.
I could swear it moved just a moment ago.
It did move. I saw it too.
That's the strangest looking tree I ever saw. Look at that bark. I wonder if...
Crane! What's wrong, man?
I just... touched the bark of that tree and it didn't feel like bark at all.
What?
No, it felt like human skin.
Oh. Yeah, let me feel it. By heaven, it's true. It does feel like skin, warm and smooth and soft.
Yes. It feels that way to me, too.
Here. Humphreys, you touch it.
No, thanks.
Go ahead, Humphreys. Feel it.
I have no desire to. You see, I'm sure you're right.
What's that?
I feel that this is the demon tree of Barlow Forest.
Oh, Bruce.
I think we've seen enough of this place, haven't we? Let's get back to the inn.
Yes, let's.
All right. Come on. Why, say, wait a minute. Have you noticed how dark it is? All of a sudden.
The sun's behind a cloud, probably.
It's impossible to see the sky through this foliage.
It is darker. I can hardly see where I'm walking.
Are you quite sure this is the right way? I don't remember this clearing.
I don't either.
Wait a minute. By heaven, this isn't the way.
It must be. We're on the path, aren't we?
No. No, I don't think we are. It's so dark. Do any of you have a flash?
I certainly don't remember this clearing. I think... What was that?
What was what, Crane?
You'll think this is foolish, but I swear I felt the branch of a tree brush across my face and shoulder.
That's impossible. There's not a tree within 50 feet of us.
But I felt it, I tell you. It rustled like a branch covered with leaves, and yet it felt warm and soft, like human flesh.
Are you sure?
Yes. Look, we're lost here. It's dark. Dark as night, right in the middle of the afternoon. And we've lost the path and that tree.
Easy, Crane. Keep your head, man.
I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to stay here and be murdered.
Crane! Stay with us.
No. I'm going to find the path and get out of here.
Crane, stay here. We'll find a way back.
I don't want to stay here and die. I want to get away from this place.
Crane, don't be a fool. Crane!
Now he is in for it. We're better off by staying together.
I don't know whether we are or not.
Listen.
It's Crane.
Sounds like he's strangling.
Come on.
Oh, he couldn't have gotten far.
Right over here, I think.
But take it easy now. Be careful.
Oh. There he is.
Yes. Stretched out on the ground. Like he was dead.
Look. Look at him.
Oh. Marks on his throat. Like hands would make.
That wasn't done by hands. See? Stains on his skin. Green stain.
Thomas Wakefield Crane.
Oh, what a horrible way for him to die.
Clara, that tree. This is where we first saw it. Now it's gone.
Humphreys, you're right. This is where it was. I'm sure of it.
Then what's happened to it?
The important question is, what are we going to do with Crane?
We'll have to leave him here till we can find a way out of this place.
Oh, poor Crane. It happened so quickly. One minute he was with us and the next...
We warned him not to leave us. Now the three of us had better stay close together.
Oh, yes, for heaven's sake, let's not get separated.
And do come on. There's nothing we can do for Crane now. We've got to find our way out of here.
It just doesn't seem right, leaving him there.
It's all we can do. Come on.
How do we know which way to go?
We don't. All we can do is keep moving and hope to find the path again.
Oh, it's horrible. Wandering about like this, like nothing but a group of marionettes.
Controlled by what strange puppeteer?
What? What's that, Humphreys?
I said, controlled by what strange puppeteer?
Humphreys, surely you don't think we've been purposely led into this?
Who can say?
Oh, now, Humphreys. Crane went off the deep end. We've got to keep our heads.
We found a way in. Surely we'll find a way out.
Yes. Yes, we did find a way in. But what about the chill? The darkness?
There's some explanation. Perhaps a storm is coming up. Yes, that could be it, couldn't it?
Storms don't rise that quickly in this part of the country.
And the darkness. It came down on this forest like a shroud.
Yes. It came so quickly. Reminded me of how a corpse must feel in his coffin when the lid is put over him.
Look here, Humphreys. I'm about fed up with that sort of talk.
Only a fool refuses to face the facts, Danvers. You know this isn't any ordinary situation we're in. The chill of winter in the summertime. Darkness in mid-afternoon. And a tree that strangles.
It was probably just an accident, Crane's death.
Why don't you stop trying to tell yourself that the tree was only an imaginary thing? We all know that it's real.
Humphreys.
And as alive as any of us. The bark did feel like human flesh.
Danvers. Humphreys. Look.
What? What is it? A glow of light there ahead of us.
It's the tree.
There. Now, what do you think, Danvers? Look. The tree moving along in a glow of phosphorescent light.
Good heavens! It's the same tree!
It looks like a human giant.
It was nowhere near here. It was back there.
Do you two see what the tree is carrying?
It's carrying Crane. It's got him tucked up under that huge branch that looks like a human arm.
Oh. It's fading now. Disappearing again.
Fading away, yes. Gone. He's gone!
Now do you believe, Danvers? Now do you admit that the tree is alive?
What else can I believe? I don't know.
Danvers, look out!
He's fallen into a water
pit. Oh.
Help, Humphrey! It's quicksand!
Humphrey, he's sinking.
Help! I'm into my race! Get me out of here!
Stand still, Danvers. You just sink deeper.
Quick, help me out of here. Get something I can grab onto.
Here, Danvers.
Danvers, grab the end of that pole. And he'll let you come from.
Grab it, Danvers. Grab it.
The pole, Danvers. Grab the end.
Thank
of it.
I can't. That tree branch. It's beating me.
Good Lord. Listen, Clara.
A tree branch. But we can't see it.
I can't get near the pole. The branch keeps spinning me back.
Humphreys, do something. He's up to his shoulders now.
I can't make it. I can't help. Take me. Take me.
He'll go under the quicksand and strangle.
Danvers, there's nothing I can do.
That tree. The demon tree. There's no saving from it.
Gone.
Poor devil. Didn't have a chance.
Humphreys, we've got to get out of here. We're all doomed. It's the Wakefield curse.
Let us stop it.
It is the curse. We're helpless. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves.
Clara, stop it.
Humphreys.
Now, we can't give up. We've got to find a way out of this place. Follow me. Be careful where you step. Whatever happens, keep your head, Clara, for heaven's sake.
For hours.
I say, it's getting a little lighter. Clara, up ahead there. Isn't that a path?
What? Oh, you're right, Humphreys. It's the path we came in on.
And look, there's an opening through the trees.
Yes, I remember the landmarks. Oh, thank God for the light.
Come on, Clara. Out of this place. There's nothing we can do for Danvers or Crane now. If you feel as I do. I thought we'd be safe back here in the hotel. I don't know how to describe it, but I have a feeling that this whole business isn't over yet.
I know. I've had the same feeling. A feeling that we're not finished with the demon tree.
Or that it's not finished with us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, my room. Better go in and have a drink, Clara. Heaven knows we need one.
Yes, I certainly do.
What's worrying me is how we're going to explain what happened to Craig and Danvers. Yeah, wait a minute. I'll get the light. There.
Humphrey, on the bed there.
Good Lord. The branch of a tree about 2 feet long.
Humphrey, don't touch it.
Look at it. Look at it. A fresh, living branch.
Put it down. Oh, Humphreys, I'm getting out of here.
Where are you going?
Down to the lobby and wait for the stage.
Oh, hold on, I'll go with you. Wait, Clara. Wait, it's 3 flights down. Let's take the elevator.
All right. We can get the thing up here.
It's automatic. Just push the button, it'll come up.
Humphreys, look. Someone left the steel gate open.
I say, that's dangerous.
It certainly is.
Humphreys, that branch is pushing. Drop it, Humphreys!
Good Lord. Clara. Clara. That branch. It pushed her down the shaft. It's after me. Get away. Get away. Help me. Help me, somebody. The tree. The demon tree. It's talking me.
Any descendant of Sir Thomas Hurley Wakefield who enters Barlow Forest is doomed to die. And all who enter the forest with him are likewise doomed.
Just heard The Demon Tree, an original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop. Tonight's cast included Eleanor Naylor Coren as Clara, Ben Morris, who was Humphreys, Garland Moss took the part of Danvers, and Murillo Schofield was heard as Crane. Next Friday night at this time, the National Broadcasting Company will bring you another unusual and fantastic adventure thriller, Men Call Me Mad, the story of another world and the people who inhabit it. An exciting and weird tale of dark fantasy created by Scott Bishop. Dark fantasy originates in the studios of station WKY, Oklahoma City.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.